It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Sons of a Gun, a podcast about the DC Universe. I'm Alex Gunn.
I'm Justin Gunn.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about the finale, series finale, season finale, probably series finale.
We don't know.
They don't announce that stuff anymore at any point.
It's certainly some character finales.
Sure is. Of the Penguin.
Too soon.
The title of the episode is A Great or Little Thing. If you haven't watched it on HBO or Max, please do go watch it, because we're going to spoil the heck out of it. We're going to talk about the episode, our thoughts on the season, and also talk a little bit about what we expect leading into the Batman Part 2, because this is very much a handoff there. They've said since the beginning, this is a bridge series going a week after the Batman, and then a little bit of time before the Batman Part 2, leading right into that. So big stuff going down here, but broad overview of the plot. This is the final confrontation between Oswald Cobb and Sophia Gigante. They're in Monroe's, where Francis Cobb is being held hostage and tortured by Dr. Julian Rush, who loves to torture.
Tortured? I think he's really opening up some great journeys.
Do you think that's covered, by the way, in her health plan? Or, like, is that out of network when your therapist tries to chop off your pinky? What do you think?
You know, if they get the right coding, you know, then it'll get approved. But, you know,
I'm just not good with this stuff.
Expertise. Red light therapy is a little more expensive. You got to pay. That's out of network.
All right. Real quick, though, the truth comes out. Francis Cobb knows about Oz killing his brother. She, in fact, hates him and has been manipulating him this entire time. He finds out that she hired Rex Calabrese to kill him back in the day and was only stopped by an impassioned speech in Monroe's. That all comes out. She ends up gutting Oz like a fish, and then falls down from a stroke. Later on, we find out she's in a vegetative state, but he is not letting go of his mommy. He won't let go of it at all. Oh. And ultimately, thanks to some machinations from Vic, turns the tables on Sophia in a big way. All the number twos in town kill their respective gang leaders take over their gangs. And now Oz is top of the heap. And as one last kick in the nuts, as Pete likes to say, he kills Vic because Vic calls him family and he can't have family anymore. And we end the episode in maybe the most disturbing way possible, as Francis is crying in a vegetative state in his apartment. Eve Carlo is dressed as his mom and dancing with him and telling him he's proud of him. And then when he says, I'm on top of the world, nothing can stop me now, the camera pans, and we get the answer to the question Pete, at the very least, has been asking all season: where's Batman?
Where the fuck is Batman?
There's Batman.
Even the city doesn't know. They're like, hey, turn on the light.
They're like, hey, Batman, a lot of shit going on.
They just blow up a big chunk of the street. What's going on with you, man? You busy?
Could you be a detective, like a medium one?
Yeah. What are you, Batman, sleeping during the day? What's going on? Anyway,
we got our two biggest connections to the larger Bat universe. The bat signal, and of
this
course,
this bothers you. This bothers you, right, Justin?
What's that?
The connections,
pen pals. Is that the second thing?
Kyle writes Sophia, who ends up back in Arkham, just like, hey, we're half sisters. We don't find out what's going on with the letter.
It's not. It's just a
are
show
we jumping
that did,
right to that.
A show that did a great job. They are then like, but we got to do this thing. It reminded me of in the Joker sequel, when the, I won't spoil it for you, Pete, since you like are. I guess we can spoil it. You'll never see that.
Yeah, I'll never see it. So go ahead.
So at the end, and this is a spoiler for everyone who doesn't want to see this movie, which is most everyone, it turns out, based on the earnings. At the end, we learn that the Joaquin Phoenix Joker basically isn't even the real Joker. He sets up the continuity is lined up with the Nolan Joker. And it had that same sort of like, hey, we did a great job telling the story, and this is Penguin, but here's a little thing that we have to do. And it felt tacked on, and it pushes me out of the story unnecessarily.
Well, I'm going to disagree a little bit. Not completely, not 100%. The bat signal, I think, 100% is earned in there. It is a great moment.
That's
and
fair.
It is a question we've been asking all along, and the point here of this whole series is the rise of Oswald Cobb to the head of Gotham crime. He's running everything. It has been an ongoing question of where's Batman, what's going on. He is now big enough that he's on Batman's radar. He is a problem that is going to have to be dealt with, and it is this last punch in the gut for the path he's been on, where he's like, nothing can stop me, nothing stands in my way. There is something, and he doesn't know it's coming for him. So it's that last little twist of the knife of, oops, as big as you get, there's always going to be something bigger. Plus, it's just a great last shot to end on, I think.
You love it.
I loved it. The Selina Kyle thing, I'll like 50% agree with you on. I do think there's a sense you could read it as what Sophia has been looking for the entire time is belonging and family, and she has not found that with any of the men in her life. All of them want to
control
her.
Writing people in prison is a great way to get family. You know what I mean? It's a tried and true.
All of them are men who have manipulated and controlled her across the board. She ends up in the exact same place she was stuck by her father, Carmine Falcone, with Dr. Julian Rush. Once again, kind of arguably like in his power position of like, I get to take care of you,
this
Sophia.
This guy can go anywhere. This guy's unstoppable. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I mean, good for him getting hired back, to be honest with you. You know, that's
tough
to do.
I think he actually took the civil service test and he's a mailman for Arkham.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Because he brings the mail.
He does. He's the mail guy.
What she finally gets here is an equal. She gets a sense of belonging. We don't know what's in the letter, but she has a sister, somebody who connects with her. I think there's an interpretation I think what you're responding to is the fact that we've never heard the name Selina Kyle before the entire series, and it is something that will have to be followed going forward. But I do think there is a level of comfort there that ties up and gives some hope to Sophia, a character who is bad, but is not 100% bad and sociopathic like Oz.
Huh. Yeah, I like all of that emotional understanding, and she sort of, you know, distinguished herself as not, like you're saying, not connected to anyone, sort of above it all. She's a powerhouse. She's a family leader in the mob and a supervillain, essentially. So it makes sense that she's, like, talking to another villain. But if you're watching The Penguin, and it's just like, she got a letter from Selina Kyle, it's like, sick. I got a letter from National Grid.
I will tell you, not that Google Trends is a good indication of anything other than generally what people are searching for, but I was looking through it, and the large majority of the searches were like, who is Selina Kyle? So not even the level of like, sick, it's Catwoman, or just like, literally, I have no recollection who that person is at all. So
can we back up the truck here? We kind of jumped right in.
Do you want to talk about like the one character who got their just desserts, Victor? Is that what you wanted to talk about?
No, I want to back up the truck and kind of take it back here and kind of talk a little bit about the title, A Great or Little Thing. Which option do you think it is? I think it's a little thing. This wasn't that great.
Is it
at all.
A game show to you, Pete?
Well, it proposes a question that I think we should answer, great or little thing. I think it's a little thing because this made no sense to me in a lot of different areas. I think watching the recap, though, in the beginning, I was like, wow, this is an epic show. We've seen a lot of cool stuff happen. This has been very interesting and cool. But this episode made no sense to me because, like, okay, Penguin's rise to fame, cool. But why throw Sophia back into Arkham? Why not shoot her there? It's a better move. Letting her go somewhere and then grow in power again and then come at you later makes no sense. Like, you're going to choke out Vic on a bench, but you're going to put her back in Arkham? I can't make sense of what's happening. And then the, like, tell me you're proud, mommy, was just so gross. I was like, who's having fun?
Do you not want to hear you're proud from your mommy, Pete?
Or make someone make your girlfriend into your mommy?
I dress my wife up as my mommy all the time.
Oh, wow.
Great confession.
Wow.
Great stuff.
That's going to live out forever.
Going to clip that out?
Yeah, exactly.
The Sophia thing, just to give a plot reason for that, whether you disagree with it or not, but it ties into the whole thing that Oz is building up there with Councilman Haiti, I believe is his name, the guy that he's manipulating, that he sort of like snipped a little bit of his nose in the previous episode.
Right in the middle.
So the whole plan there is to throw the whole thing on Sophia, blame her for everything, and that's what he does. He needs her alive. He needs her in Arkham so that she can take the blame. She can take the fall for everything. Councilman Haiti can look like a hero who put the hangman back in jail for blowing up a good chunk of Gotham, which, mind you, she did. But a lot of the other things that they're blaming on her, she did not necessarily do. And that allows Oz to get this sense of legitimacy that he clearly wants, despite what he's actually doing in the background.
All right.
I mean, that's why I think it works. And it's also the worst possible thing that could happen to Sophia is the other part of it. Like, it's worse than death for her to be thrown back there.
Yeah.
It's a response, sort of the mirror image of what she was trying to do to him. Like, she could have killed him at any time.
Yeah.
Sorry, my dog. She could have killed him at any time, but she doesn't. And he did the same thing. He could have killed her, and he puts her in a worse place.
Yeah. We always try to have a dog weigh in on the podcast wherever
we can. It's important.
They have good thoughts. Dogs don't like penguins. Have you ever taken a dog to the zoo? They're like, I can see this because it's black and white, but I don't like it.
Plus, dogs get mad because penguins are always dressed up trying to show them off. You know what I mean? They're like, yeah, take it down a notch. We're at the zoo.
Dogs and penguins are mortal enemies and always happen.
Yeah. By the way, nice to finally see Oz in a top hat and tails. That was a fun little thing at the end there when he comes home to his mommy and his other mommy. It was,
I keep my mommies on different floors.
I thought this episode was great. I do think there were some wild twists and turns. It went crazy dark, so I understand it was not for everybody. But I thought, starting from the beginning, not necessarily from the title beginning, but the first scene where we are getting Julian, you don't have to turn on the red light, Rush, using his red light to hypnotize Francis. We got a very similar device to the Patti LuPone episode of Agatha All Along, where Deirdre O'Connell is playing the younger version of herself. But I thought that worked so well, that whole sequence, showing the flip side of where Oz was like, I don't know why my mom came out in this dress and decided to dance, but it was great because then we were aligned and it gave me my rise. But we see that she hates him. She doesn't want anything to do with him, she wants to kill him. And this is her decision to take him out for one last night of dining and dancing before he dies. And then it all changes there. It's also really fascinating because we got to see this speech that she gave him on the dance floor in the previous episode. That's all the things that he said to her, her saying back to him. So when we asked, like, why is she saying this stuff to him like that? That's why she's begging him. Yeah. She's sobbing. She's like, I know I'm giving in to this evil sociopathic child to hopefully get up in my circumstances a little bit. And I'm giving away my own soul to do this and everything that I care about.
I mean, I did appreciate Sophia working so hard to get them to talk to each other and say, like, hey, I know what you did. You know what I did. I mean, so that was, a nice kind of family moment that Sophia kind of
I don't know if I call it a nice family moment, but I thought it was a well done acting moment throughout from everybody, particularly all the stuff from Colin Farrell when he's like, the fact that you can see he knows that they all know because they're literally saying it out loud, but he still cannot bring himself to tell the truth, even when they're going to rip his mother to shreds.
Well, they're cutting her fingers off, the old cigar cutter.
Yeah. I mean, eventually it's
tiny shreds.
Tiny shreds. Pinky shreds. I just thought the whole sequence was so tense and so upsetting and incredibly done.
Yeah, and I thought the little in the flashback when we see Sophia and Julian there, like, that was really well done. It was shot really well across the board. I agree. This was cool, and the psychological torture of it was done really well, I thought. And you really see why both Sophia and Penguin are villains, super villains. This show was able to find its way into comic book type storytelling, sort of the hard way. They came up through like being super dark and making these people superhuman in their sociopathy and ability to inflict torture on each other.
I just think, though, that like if someone's coming to the show and thinking about like, hey, maybe I should start therapy, you know, like this doesn't represent, you know, the, you know,
in Gotham City, it does. Name literally one normal therapist in Gotham City. You can't. Absolutely not.
Yeah. The BetterHelp app.
I think Two-Face would be a pretty good therapist.
Hugo Strange is on my plan, and I saw him once. Went very badly for me.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Strange.
Yes. Just to keep talking about the seed a little bit, I will say in the middle of all of this, the fact that, like, there's that moment where Francis spits on Sophia and Oz is like, yeah, which was still very funny in the middle of all this horror that's happening. Great that the show can pull off multiple tones.
Well, and I think Oz is also, Sophia and he are sort of twinned a lot in this show, especially this episode, but he's also the sort of pit fighter version of her. She's coming at all of these issues as sort of like looking down and moving the chess pieces to see what she can do to her enemies. While Oz is in the pit and he's like, hey, I found a twig. I'm going to jam it in someone's eye or whatever. And so any little move you see, and like, and to Colin Farrell's credit, like he's so good at this guttural, like base attitude.
Also one-handed surgery. It's impressive. You see, you know, fix himself up there. I was like, this Penguin guy.
Before we get that there, though, I wanted to give a shout out to one of the big character deaths in the episode. Drop Cop, a.k.a. Skunk Cop, got shot through the eye.
Poof Cop.
Poof Cop. How'd you feel about that? Going to miss that character?
Drop in the eye, bullet out the eye. That's ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Wow. Classic. Deep, man. Deep.
We also get a lot of stuff with the gangs of Gotham that I thought was interesting. We get that scene where Vic is yelling at them and they're ready to leave. They're like, we came for the drugs or we came for the product. We're here for the product, not the Penguin, which I thought was a nice line. What do you think about, so we get this plot of like Link Psy, who's the number two in command of the Triads, clearly is like, hey, Vic, calm down. You got to not do this stuff. And it's on his side, which Vic manages to turn all of the number twos, like we said, to kill the number ones and all of the gangs. Did you buy that? Because that felt like very quick to me.
Well, it was a nice budding friendship between those two, and they really had some connection points. So it was a kind of a nice moment. What drove me a little crazy is all these like gangs showing up, and then there were like random shootings. And then at one point, Sophia's like running outside shooting her gun. Had no cops anywhere ever. So I was just kind of like, I was just so happy to get that bad signal because it was like, give me some kind of, you know, police force or something, just because like the reality of this is really kind of spinning out of like what you can get away with and nobody's going to bat an eye.
It's funny you're happy about that because the cops were spent the whole episode up on the roof trying out different light bulbs into the bat signal.
It takes a lot of them to change that light bulb.
The first thing they did was they brought the Christmas lights, but they were all bunched up from being in a bag for a year.
It's that classic, how many Gotham police does it take to change the bat signal? It's all of them.
Classic. Oh, yeah. Classic.
The idea of a populist uprising, you think that's not believable to you, Alex?
No, I don't know. It just happened quickly. Like, I was like, oh, when did Link Psy and Vic talk before? Other than when he's punching him in the stomach, I'm not quite sure where he's like, put all my faith in this guy. That's all.
Well, I will say, yeah, maybe, it was done in a very hasty montage. But I think the show's been telling us about this for, like, almost to a fault. Like, literally, Penguin's like, it's you and me, kid. We're going to throw everything off of us. Like, this is just an execution of that theme that Penguin says so much that it felt like this is a clue that Vic is definitely going to die. And does it to the point in this episode when I was like, oh, well, he didn't kill Vic. And then he did.
Yeah. Well, we'll get there in a second. I do want to ask you another thing that I thought was interesting was the whole scene after Vic convinces him that convinces Oz that he gave people dignity. That's his true superpower, is getting the lights back on at Crown Point, which seems like a vast misunderstanding of who Oz actually is, as Vic finds out to his detriment by the end of the episode. But that's what convinces Oz to go to City Hall, talk to Haiti. What do you think his interest is? And this is getting into a little bit of speculation, but what do you think his interest is with Mayor Bella Real, who we get to see very briefly in this episode?
What is the, well, that felt like pure setup for the movie, because I was like, oh, this is, it was just like a long look at the end. We saw her name a couple times across the series a number of times, but it feels like she's going to be more important in the upcoming sequel, I would think. If I were to take that out of it, and any correspondence from any member of the Kyle family, I would say it's Penguin looking and seeing his next target, which is politics. And he's like, he's conquered the crime mountain. Now maybe he runs for mayor.
Yeah, or that, just the shots of him in the court room and the court scene. And I don't know if you want to make ties to like, ooh, hinting at Court of Owls or whatever, but like just epic, and the felt so kind of like, holy shit, look at the Penguin at this, you know, this place he shouldn't be. It was, I just think it was such a kind of cool kind of place to kind of put him. And it just felt so creepy and unsettling.
Yeah, to the point you guys are making, I think the key shot there is that Penguin is down on the floor of City Hall when he's leaving, and he's looking up at Bella Real on the balcony. So it's very much, yeah, he's always striving. And even though he says, like, I'm top of the heap, I'm obviously paraphrasing at the end of the episode, there's always somewhere bigger where he can go. I'm very interested to see, given we know where there's going to be a Mayor Kingpin storyline in Daredevil Born Again, if that's what they're going to aim for with Penguin. Or maybe they'll just do, like, a remake of the Danny DeVito scenes in Batman Returns. It'll be, like, dripping black glue while eating fish in the basement or something, you know?
Ooh, yeah, he's ready to eat some goo.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't we jump ahead, though, because I'm sure we want to spend some time and talk about this. After Oz turns the table on Sophia, he is, which I thought also was a really, really well-done scene, the whole driving her out, taking her out, the way that was shot from her perspective, where Oz just sort of disappears from the scene, I thought was really, really well done.
Even going back to when Sophia goes to the meetup and she thinks she has him, and she sees his little confident look on his face.
Oh my God. I was like, good.
That was well done. Because we, I think, suspected something was going to happen. She doesn't, and then she does, and then it happens. It was just a really satisfying progression of events.
Yeah. Well, and shout out to Krista Milioti, who all the life goes out of her as soon as that happens. Like, there's no fighting back. She's like, I'm done. I am trapped again. I've lost. She doesn't try to get out of the back of the car when Oz is like, oh, here we are again. I'm driving you. I'm your driver.
It's great, too.
It's so good. All that stuff is great. But the next thing that happens is the scene where we cut to Oz sitting with Vic. It definitely feels like this is the most controversial moment in the episode. They sit, they talk about everything they did. Oz almost kind of confesses about killing his brothers before he pulls back, which I thought was interesting. And they're really just telling each other, like, great job, great job, great job, until Vic says, you're like family, you know. And you just get this sigh from Oz where he's like, ah. And the line as he's choking him to death is like, your family, it's your strength, makes you weak too. I can't have that no more. And then he dumps his body and says, I'm sorry, you're a good man, Vic. You've got a good heart. It wasn't for nothing. And Vic can't hear that because he's dead.
It was for nothing.
Yeah.
And then what did you guys think about that? Did you like that moment, Pete? Pete, it was awful, that, right?
It was the worst. It was awful. And thank you for making us relive it again. But, you know, at least, you know, the fact that he then kind of mugged him so, you know, he could get away with it was rather touching.
Well, I thought that was a nice parallel as well, because in the first episode, we got the whole thing with him taking Victor's driver's license so that he couldn't leave and gave it back to him. Now he took it again and he threw it away. It's just not necessary anymore. So smart structuring.
I like to, he robbed him. It just shows how base he is. And as a ramp up to the scene where he has dressed Eve up like his mom, like, it shows just how far out of reality he is. But I will say, the killing of Vic felt, I didn't like it from a story perspective. It felt a little like, the logic doesn't make sense. He can't have family yet. He's still keeping his vegetative state mom in his house. Like, that's, if that's the same liability he's worried about and he's killing Vic, that doesn't make sense. He's got Eve even closer to him. Like, he can take advantage of her and use her to connect with other for his crime business? Maybe. But that's what he did with Vic too. He uses Vic to pursue his ends. So I don't buy the idea of this. Maybe if it was about a sort of a cycle with his brothers, if Vic said something that reminded him of that and he sort of like lost it, and that's what we're following, because what his brothers highlighted a weakness in him, and so he trapped them under the ground and they died. If that had happened, but just the saying the word family isn't enough of that weakness. To me, that doesn't harm his ego the way that the brothers did, and they paid the with their lives. Here, it just doesn't track.
So I don't disagree with you, but let me throw out some contrary notions, if you don't mind, to like work backwards and talk about the Eve and his mother of it all. They're not family. They are things that he owns right now. His mother is a living trophy in his room who maybe he's punishing by keeping trapped in her body. I mean, remember that two episodes back, she was like,
yeah,
if this specific thing ever happens to me, you need to kill me. And he's like, got it. I'm on it. I'm going to do it. The fact that he doesn't do it, I do think that ties in some sense back to the fact that she's like, I hate you. You're the worst. Yeah. I tried to kill you. So he's punishing her, whether he realizes it or not.
That's fair. I think that's accurate.
And Eve is a sex worker who he pays to dress up as his mother. Like, she left him. Obviously, he seems to have some feelings for her, but I do think they're mostly feelings in terms of how it affects him rather than how it affects her. So he could do away with her at a moment's notice, and that would be fine. He could cut the financial transaction. He could kill her, etc. And I think ultimately what this moment with Vic is driving home is two things, one internal to the show thing and one external to the show thing. The internal to the show thing that I took away is that it is doubling down on the idea that this is a sociopath. This is somebody who has no empathy for anybody else. Everything is about him. And when he realizes that Vic has essentially imprinted on him like a baby bird, he's like, well, I can't have that. You know, everything that he says as he's killing Vic is really about him. Like, he does not even, I think, realize in a certain sense that he's killing Vic. He's like, no, I did a nice thing for you. I got you out of this life by choking you to death and dumping you on the riverbed. Isn't that good? And that's the same thing with everything. He felt no feelings about killing his brother either. Like, he is devoid.
No, he had a tough night. He didn't get
he was snuggled up with his mom watching Top Hat. He was having a great time.
I agree with you there, but I think there was an end he was getting to with that. And like, it was like killing his brothers gets him close to his mom.
Yeah.
All the things you're saying like make sense, but it doesn't justify why there was no Vic wasn't a threat to him in any way. In fact, I think I would argue Vic is the only thing that sort of he can rely on to get him out of a jam when he doesn't have a solution. From a preservational sociopathic way, I don't think there's grounds for him to kill him. Maybe Vic had the only direct line into what's left of his morality, you could say, or a heart thing. And when he says family, he's like, I can't keep this little tiny Grinch Junior little beating part of my heart alive, so I'll kill it by killing Vic. Maybe that justifies it. But I will say the scene doesn't give us enough of a breadcrumb to him doing that, I think, to really satisfy me as a viewer. And show, I think it's meant to be like, look, he's fully transformed into this monster. But it just doesn't quite land how that transformation took place or what spurned it.
The external thing I was going to say, and I hear what you're saying. Again, I don't disagree. It's just sort of trying to game through it, why they did this from the writing perspective. I think the external thing is just – doubling down for the audience. To be clear, this is a villain. And I say this because I think so many shows with get painted as anti-hero shows. Like, I think even Breaking Bad, for example, you're like, no, Walter White's a bad guy. People are like, I don't know. We kind of rode with him for a couple of seasons, so it's cool. I actually think this is, not to keep comparing it to Marvel shows, but similar in a way to the final episode of Agatha All Along, where in there, if folks listening watch that, spoiler for Agatha All Along, but in the final episode, they're like, no, Agatha loved killing witches, and she killed hundreds of them over the centuries, and she loved it and doesn't really feel remorse about it. Very similar here. In case there was any question in your mind after watching 8 episodes of Oz betraying people and killing people and doing the worst thing possible, here is a, in our viewer's mind, a truly unforgivable thing to drive that home. He is not the good guy. He's the main character. He's the title character, but he's not an anti-hero. He's not the hero of the show. He is a bad guy. And I think that is probably why they ended up here, is we need to do something that goes too far to really drive this home. And maybe that's what people are responding to.
I mean, I think that's accurate. It just doesn't, to me, give us enough of a base of what that villainy comes from. He just feels like he commits an act like, I'll kill him. I'll kill this kid. Mm-hmm. And that sets him up. But if they were really trying to make him a villain, why put him in a cool outfit and have him dance with a cool mom?
That's very true. I've never known somebody bad to dance with their cool mommy.
Yeah.
Pete, to talk about something positive to get you back on track, the Oserati is back.
What'd you think that was nice. It was good to see him kind of back in the saddle there. That was fun. Mm-hmm.
And do cars couple have seconds saddles? Of joy. I'm not familiar.
No. That's the expression.
Wow.
Yeah, not familiar.
Look, Pete's sad. Pete's too sad about it. He can't even like the car. He's so sad.
What else? There's obviously lots of other things that happened in the episode, and we skipped around a lot. Any other things you want to call out?
I mean, it's a hard journey to go on. It's like, hey, do you want to try to root for somebody? And then there's this adorable kid that gets choked out. Like, that's a tough thing to kind of like have happen and like be able to roll with. So I don't know what you want from me, man.
Well, I think, I mean, we have been predicting Vic's death throughout this whole season.
Yeah, but I've been hoping that you guys were wrong and that somehow Vic was going to get away or something. You know what I mean?
I mean, I will say it was a harder pill to swallow because it felt even more random than I could have ever imagined. Yeah. Like, I thought for sure it was going to be like a betrayal. Him like bringing Vic so close and then pushing him out the moment he needs to. And instead, he already won and then killed him.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they were hugging each other on a bench, drinking and like hanging out, and you're like, oh man, oh, all right, well, this is sweet. And then you're like, oh no, why? Oh God, oh.
Yeah. Watch out for a strong hug. He's got strong hands.
Can I throw out another theory that just occurred to me? Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that he stuttered? And I say this because this is the first time when he says the your family that he stutters in the episode. When he's yelling at the gangs earlier, there's like a little bit of a hitch, but he gets it all out clean. He's strong. He's powerful. He does the thing that Oz coached him to do when they went out to lunch before they walked in on, oh my God, what's his name? Jody Vitti hooking up with the wife, where he's like, no, you don't worry about it. You say what you're going to say. And there might be something to the fact that like all season long, he's been like, no, your stutter is not.
He's like, next time he stutters, I'm choking him out.
No,
I swear to God.
He's talked to him like he's bonded with him over the fact that like, hey, people don't see me the way I want them to see me because of my club foot, my scarred face, et cetera, the way that I look. For you, the way that you sound, I believe in you. We're the same, you and I. But maybe he doesn't want what he actually views as a weakness anymore. Like when he hears him stutter, hitch up, he realizes that there's nervousness and feeling there. And he's like, nope, I'm cutting out my own weakness by getting rid of Vic.
Could be. You could also argue like that connection to that stutter reminds him of his weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, again, reflecting back to him. Maybe. But the fact that it's such an open question, I think, I wish it was more. We had more there. The other thing, though, is like we spent so much time being like feeling stress about Vic becoming a villain. And then it's like, nope, don't worry about that.
Don't need to worry about that at all.
He's a corpse. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about what we do need to worry about, which is the Batman Part 2. It's not coming out until 2026, so we got plenty of time. I know.
Oh, fuck you, man. That's so far.
October. I believe October 2nd, Jesus. 2026. They haven't even started on it. The only thing
they are going to release an extended cut of Penguin choking Vic, so we can just watch that.
Yeah, it was absurdly easy for him to choke him, and he was talking the entire time. So I was like, he's not actually choking.
Yeah,
you know? You can do it.
All right, so let's talk about ideal scenarios in Batman 2. I'll start. It opens with Batman just tearing down the street. He slows his car down, rolls down the window, shoots Penguin, and then just rolls away. And then whatever the movie's going to be about can happen. But I need Penguin to die first before I'm ready for anything else to happen.
Absolutely not going to happen. Penguin is not going to die in that movie. If anything, I believe, tentatively, if there's a Batman Part 3, he'd be back.
I want Batman to choke out Penguin horribly on a bench.
Well, so not to jump back, but I do think one of the things that was really satisfying about this season was effectively building Oswald up as a villain who you hate. But when we get to the movie, I would suspect if you see the Penguin, you're going to feel exactly like Pete. You're going to be like, Batman, you come in there, you punch him so hard, every single one of his bones shatters simultaneously for what he did. But if you haven't seen the Penguin, you'll still be like, ooh, bad guy, bad crime boss, et cetera. Yeah. You got to go from there.
I'm hoping most of the movie is just about pen pals and writing people back and forth. You know what I mean?
Well, let's jump to that. Do you think we're going to see Sophia and Selina team up in the Batman Part 2? Or my theory is, I think we're not going to see Sophia or Julian Rush or anything in the Batman Part 2. I think the next bridge series that they do is going to be a Catwoman series between Batman Part 2 and Part 3. That's my theory.
That's a pretty good theory, because what I was going to say is I can't see how there's room in this movie for Sophia, Penguin, Catwoman, and probably another villain, right?
Like, well, likely, I don't remember where I saw this, so don't quote me on this, but I believe Colin Farrell said that he believes he's probably only in the movie for like 5 or 6 scenes, is what he said.
Yeah, it's mainly the Scarface, the puppet villain guy. Yeah, that's going to be the
ventriloquist. Yeah,
the ventriloquist.
We don't know. Just to lay out what we do know, in case anybody's curious about Batman Part 2, we do know that Matt Reeves is coming back as co-writer and director. He's co-writing it with Mattson Tomlin. We know, of course, that Robert Pattinson is going to be back. Andy Serkis is back as Alfred Pennyworth. Jeffrey Wright is back as Jim Gordon. And Colin Farrell is back. But that's it. We don't even know if Zoe Kravitz is in the movie or any of the other characters. We don't know the villain, anything like that.
Yeah. I feel like, especially with that news, like then Penguin is just a piece of Gotham. That is driving, you know, some crime, maybe part of the story. Batman has to go see him for different things, and it will get another villain. But I don't think we're going to get like a Clayface. I don't think we're going to get a real superpowered villain there. So whatever that is, I think we have to build up that villain. There's just no room for Sophia, and it's a shame. Unless, of course, she's one of the characters we follow in this next series that you mentioned, Alex, because that's cool. That's another reason why the Selina Kyle thing bothered me a bit, because Sophia is a great character. And this show did a great job and spent a ton of time building her up as this great foil for Penguin or the crime families of Gotham. To have her just be a bridge where we see her write a letter to Selina Kyle, sort of like, oh, bye, miss you, I guess.
Justin's right. Okay, here's my new thought for Batman 2. This is what we do, right? It's, it has Sophia writing letters, for different people. And then at the end of the movie, she writes a letter to Batman and says, don't worry, I took care of your Penguin problem. And then we get a 20-minute scene of Sophia choking out Penguin on the bench.
Oh, nice.
Same bench.
I got a bigger neck. You gotta choke me longer than Vic.
It's you and me, Nick. We're gonna get through this. Come on, Nick.
I don't think we see any of the supporting characters here in Batman Part 2. I don't think we see Julian Rush.
Come on, we just spent all this time with them.
I don't think we see Francis. I don't think we see Eve necessarily, unless she's kind of like there hanging around Penguin. But I think you're absolutely right. Like, I think the thread that we follow is Penguin's interest in City Hall, because clearly Bailey Real, I think, is going to be an important character following her, how she interacts with Bruce Wayne. There's certainly an amount of corruption there. We get this tease that she's setting up an anti-corruption squad to clean up the Gotham Police Department and City Hall as well. Got to say, this is just after reading a couple of Batman comic books. I don't think she's going to be successful with that. That's just my theory on it. But I do think Penguin's going to push her and be corrupting things around her, so that really, potentially, you only have like three good characters in Gotham, or three plus, but like Bruce Wayne, Jim Gordon, Bella Royale, potentially.
Oh, don't forget about Alfred.
I did. That's exactly who it is.
He's plus. I'm all three right, plus.
Guys, sorry. Here's my new pitch. All right. It's Batman 2 Pen Pals. Okay.
Yeah.
And it opens up with Harley Quinn coming in to see Sophia, and then they talk about how they're writing.
Margot Robbie Harley Quinn or a new actress? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Or do you mean Lady Gaga?
No, do not mean Lady Gaga.
That's Lee. Sure? Lee Quinn. Her name is Lee in the movie.
Yeah.
That's Justin. Short. It's cool to short names. Oz, Cobb.
Oz, Cobb.
Lee Quinn. Were you done with your pitch? Harley Quinn comes in?
Yeah, then they start writing letters and choking out their enemies on benches, and it's fun.
Okay, nice.
A couple things in
the
episode.
Or it's Batman 2 bench choking, and it's just about a revenge thing about finally getting
bench to... Bench choking? Yeah. You can't choke someone through a correspondence.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you've never read one of Pete's letters.
Yeah, exactly. They're very long. They go on very about long. Nothing.
You wanted to say some other things about the episode, though, Justin.
Yes. I mean, you knew that that Oz's beer treaty wasn't going to hold when the gangs show up and Sophia's got gin. She's ready to upgrade from to some sweet Hendrix gin.
She didn't share it, though. She was just doing shots and eating olives, which is, I guess, a more efficient way of making a martini. I don't know. Make it as
who's got the time to shake it or stir it? Just pour it all in your mouth and. as I saw in the preview for this final episode, not only does she do double sigs, she does trip sigs.
Trip sigs.
Right before she goes down in her celebratory burning down of the mansion. The double cigarette thing I thought was funny and weird and strange.
Yeah. I liked the idea of her burning down the Falcone house, specifically going to all of the different places that these men have traumatized her. I do have questions about the people that are still loyally working for her at that point, who are like, okay.
Just watching her, yeah.
And I know that's part
of
like how
Gotham's... I live here part time, Sophia. What? Like, this is where, it's like... The people who work in that giant mansion are like, I live in the back. You're burning down my home. I clean the place, but I live here too.
And I know
maybe
I
Alfred's
going to
hear through the butler underground about the.
Yeah. Boy,
your butler's in trouble.
We got
the butler
signals.
The butler signals in the sky.
It's a little crumpet.
It's what is that?
We don't know if that was a bat signal. It could have been any signal.
Yeah, you really couldn't tell.
Apologies to people overseas who are listening to this and going, these fucking American pieces.
No, there's people listening overseas who are like, oi, they're doing me great.
Perfect accent, yeah.
Nope, that is not happening. I'm sorry.
Write us in. Let us know whether oi or oi.
Alfred. Pennyworth.
Any other final thoughts on this season of television before we wrap up the Penguin for now?
Not rewatchable, I'll tell you that much.
Wow. My name's Al Penn now.
Huh?
Sure.
You see what I did?
I mean, I like this series. I thought this was good, especially compared to a lot of, like, you know, what's called shoulder content or content that comes out on the to support a larger project, like the Batman movies. This, I thought, was just really successful. Carved out its own place. was much darker than we thought.
I'll give you, it's beautifully shot. You know what I mean? I mean, especially Alex was talking about the fires and the her staring at the painting and the kind of looking at her father and all that. That was, I mean, there was just a lot of beautiful, powerful shots in this.
Nice. And shots of gin that Sophia does.
Yeah, a lot of ads for drinking.
I thought this was really well done. I really like the series a lot. I'm very excited for the Batman Part 2. And I really do hope they hold to the thing they're saying, which is not using it as an opportunity to flesh out and grow the characters for the audience without making it dependent on having seen that thing to understand and appreciate the movie. Because they did such a good job of that in the first movie, even throwing you in the middle of Batman Year 2. So excited to see what happens next. And in terms of this podcast, what's happening next? We've got a little bit of a break and then
2 years off.
Creature Commandos is coming out in December, which is the official kickoff of the DCU, the thing that we ostensibly started this podcast to talk about. It's finally coming. It's finally happening. So we'll be talking about that here for sure, as well as any other DC things happen in the meantime. And if you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts, we do patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about the Penguin, except for Pete, who doesn't ever want to think about it ever again.
Doesn't want to talk.
That's right.
Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter/X, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok and Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast, many more. Until next time, Dad, looking forward to it all beginning. I love you, Daddy.
Boy.
I love you,
Love
mommy.
You, Daddy. I guess I'm meeting you on a park bench tonight. I can't wait to see what you got to show.
Okay, time to start my red light therapy.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest. There's something so thrilling about playing Chumba Casino. Maybe it's the simple reminder that with a little luck, anything is possible. ChumbaCasino.com has hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new game releases each week. Play for free anytime, anywhere for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.